Now today we come to the fifth verse of the second chapter of Haggai. And you will recall that the people were greatly disturbed, that is, the people who had seen the first temple, they saw this second temple, and it didn't seem to be very impressive, and there was no comparison, and God encouraged them. Remember, he said to them, be strong and work. And then he said, I'm with you. And now in verse 5, he continues along this same line. He says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear not. In other words, though the Shekinah glory had departed during the time of the first temple, and we suggested last time it might be during the reign of Manasseh, that is, the last days of that old temple, it was just nothing in the world but a very ornate building that was deserted of the presence of God. Now God says to them, my spirit is still with you. Though this new building may not be impressive, my spirit is among you, I should say, are with you. It doesn't make any difference how you translate it here. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear not. Now, this, of course, reveals to us the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament as to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He was among the people in that day. He is in believers today. He certainly changed position. That is one of the wonderful benefits of the believer in Christ. If they had no reason to fear, certainly the child of God should not fear. Now, he continues on in verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it's a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Now, verse 7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I think that first of all, we need to recognize that what God is doing here is getting their minds and hearts and eyes off of that which is local, that which is very limited, and get their eyes fixed on God's program for these people, that is, out yonder in the future, extending all the way into the millennium. And that is very important to see, because it's so easy for us to get the wrong perspective of the Christian life. We get our nose pressed right up to the window of the present, and we don't see anything else. As someone has put it, you can put a dime over your eye and blot out the sun. Well, that dime is like the present. It blots out God's plan and purpose for our lives. Don't be discouraged because present circumstances and present things are not working out for you. Recognize that for the child of God, that all things work together for good. That is a good that's off yonder in the distance. Now, he says here, he intends to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. In other words, God intends to move in judgment. And we're going to see before we finish this little book, he's moving forward and speaking of the great tribulation, which is the day of the Lord, and the coming of Christ to the earth, which is part of the day of the Lord, and the setting up of the millennial temple. Now, actually, what you have here is something I think very important for us to see. And he says, I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the way that the Lord looked at it was that there was first Solomon's temple, that was Zerubbabel's temple, and then Zerubbabel's temple was torn down by Herod, and then there was built then the temple that was called Herod's temple. And Herod's temple was part of the second temple, by the way. Now, into that temple came the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say, the glory was there, although in human flesh. Then after that, the temple was destroyed, even before it was finished in 70 AD by Titus. Now, on that spot, there's been built no temple from that day to this. Actually, on that spot is the Mosque of Omar today. And I tell you, the Islamic world would never permit that to be removed, because that's either the second or third holiest spot in the world of Islam. Mohammedanism pays a great deal of attention to that spot there. But there will be built later the temple that we designate the Great Tribulation Temple. And then after that, there will be a millennial temple that will be built there. Now, when God looks at it, he sees only one house. It's a series of houses, but he looks at it as one house, one temple. And therefore, he says the day is coming when this house, he says, will be filled with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And he's going to shake all nations. I tell you, today it's very difficult to believe they could be more shaken than they have been in the past, well, in this century, for that matter. This century was practically ushered in by the First World War. That was rather world-shaking. And then there have been quite a few earth-shaking events since then. A worldwide depression, World War II, and then since then, there have been such tremendous things that have happened, including the oil situation, the energy shortage. It's really shaken all nations. But that's nothing, that is, in my judgment, compared to the shaking that is coming in the future. And God says, I'm going to fill this house with glory. And I believe that the Shekinah glory will come with Christ when he returns to the earth. I believe that is the interpretation of his statement in the Olivet Discourse when he says, then shall be seen the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then immediately after that, in the next verse, he speaks of the glory of the Lord. Well, I think that it will again be seen there in the temple. We call it the Great Tribulation Temple. But I want to tell you, when he comes and occupies that, it won't be a great tribulation temple that's in rebellion against him with an image that's put in it of the Antichrist, but he himself will be present there. Now, he says, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Now, the commentators from the very beginning, in fact, the early church fathers, they interpreted the desire of all nations to be Christ. Well, very frankly, that disturbed me when I began as a young preacher, because, to tell the truth, I never could think that Christ is the desire of all nations. Now, I recognize that there are those that look to the coming of Christ, and they try to say it's the longing of all nations for a deliverer. Well, that may be true, that the world would like a deliverer, but who are they going to accept when he comes? Well, it'll be Antichrist. Antichrist is the world's Messiah, the world's Savior, and they will accept him when he comes. I do not think that there's any desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think this passage makes it very clear what he's talking about. I think if we just keep reading, and that is the difficulty, I think, in interpretation today. It's so easy to lift a verse of Scripture out of its context and actually make it mean the contrary of what is really spoken of.